Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Yes, indeed. Let's see what's up with another hour of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright, my co-host Shane Osborne, and Steve, the producer Johan, sorting through the huge pile of email requests for time on the air that have come rolling into our studios. Both of them. Anyway, usually we start off with Back to the Blacktop,
yes,
where we check out all the kinds of things that are happening in the automotive world. And every week, without fail, Steve has some amazing factoids that he shares with us. What do you got this week?
Well, this week we've got some very interesting things. First off is 2018 North American International Auto Show is full on right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That means we're seeing lots of cars being revealed, a lot of information coming out, a lot of industry news being shared. And one of the things I came across is, to quell the rumor mill, Chrysler Fiat is not going to be selling its Jeep brand anytime soon. Fiat Chrysler Automobiles isn't open to selling off its Jeep brand, nor has it fielded any offers for complete takeover by a Chinese company, FCA Chief Executive Sergio Machonia said during a media roundtable at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit on Monday. So that's good news.
Yeah, we'll keep will stay American.
Yes,
yeah.
we'll keep it to, in America.
The American when it's not owned by Daimler Chrysler in Germany from some years ago, I guess.
Yes,
it's good. It should be American.
Daimler Chrysler. They've got a great big plant down in Portland that makes the big trucks.
Yeah, they do.
Luxury brand Infiniti will be rapidly shifting away from conventional powertrains and will be all electrified with the exception of some large SUVs by 2021, according to the automaker's new CEO, Hiroto Sakawa. So I think he's saying, we see what Tesla's doing. We want to follow suit.
I got to say, I mean, as exciting as some of this stuff is, it may be premature.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I mean, I get the technology. It's very cool. But is everybody ready for all electric? I don't know. It's a gamble.
Well, they keep that SUV thing going here.
Yeah.
So maybe that's kind of like their open door.
That's
there.
Their test platform.
Have you maybe looked to see how many actual models that Lexus puts out? Do they put like 3, 4, 5? I have not looked recently. I should know this stuff.
I want to say 6, but I'm going to be wrong. I think five.
I think five
is there. Yeah. And then from the horsepower cool stuff, 2019 Shelby update. Horsepower wars are at it again. Here's something to look forward to in 2019.
900 horsepower.
Not quite.
Not quite.
GT.
Pushing it.
500 yeah. is looking to come out with a 29 version, coming out with a 700 plus horsepower engine, courtesy of supercharged V8.
Sure.
So they're already, their GT50 is coming out with, or 500 is 662 horsepower. So they're gonna they're gonna bump it up because they want to go against Venom spitting distance of the Dodge Hellcat and new Demon. By the way, did you see the little, hold on here.
While Steve runs back to the information shack.
Yes, it's called Road and Track. I get the Road and Track now. I'm on their mailing list. And they have a great article with Big Dad Daddy Don Garlitz.
Yes.
And he test drives the Demon. So I think we're going to have to get him on the show. I think we should do that.
Instead of doing that, not that it wouldn't be good to have Don Garlitz on the show, I think we could just do a remote from test driving a Demon ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, can we?
I think that's the trick.
I think if we could do it, we'll do a throw something up on YouTube, put it on our Facebook. Okay, who locally sells is going to be selling a Demon?
Oh, no worries. We can get one.
We can find one.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing to it.
Yep.
Okay.
I know where there is one now.
Oh, okay. We got to go do it. Well, all three go into it.
They won't let me touch it, but I know where it is.
Oh, okay. We got to come in with our cards and show that we're doing a show. And
well, no, I'll go get my buddy that owns the Hellcat.
Yes.
He'll come with us. They'll let him drive it, and then once we're outside of the dealership.
Yeah, once we're on the block.
we'll figure out a good place here to do some. Can we take it out at 2 in the morning? on Friday night?
No.
Would that be cool?
No.
Because
no.
I know a place to test ride it then.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's going to be another one of those red key, black key deals, too.
You know? Oh, yes. Speaking of horsepower, and now this is a mammoth amount of horsepower, the new Bugatti engine is a real fire breather, replacing the Bugatti V-E-Y-R-O-N.
Veyron.
Couldn't be an easy task, but the because it comes out with a 1,200 horsepower 8-liter W16.
Yeah.
Well, the new Bugatti Chiron is going to be
Chiron. It's Chiron.
Chiron. Thank you. It's like Chimera, Chiron.
Yeah.
They're going to be putting out one with 1,479
of course they
horsepower.
Are. Of course they are. You know that Chiron was the name of the boatman on the river to hell. You know that.
Well, I think some people are thinking this is what they're going to do.
That could very well be.
A real fire breather.
How many? 1,200 horse?
1,479. For a street car.
That's double a Hellcat.
That's why I used to load my groceries.
That's frightening.
That is very frightening.
Yeah, it is.
Is it a V12?
It is
it's
8-liter.
8-liter. Well, I mean, it could have pistons the size of garbage cans, or it could be a V12. I'll bet it's a 12.
Yeah.
I bet it is, too.
Well, the 8-liter W16, what's that? Wedge 16?
Oh, well, okay. It could be that.
It's a 16, yeah. 16.
That's basically an airplane motor.
It is.
Pretty much.
As a matter of fact, they were
airplane with wheels.
They were pointing out
it's an Allison.
It does. They were saying something about that it looks kind of like an airplane, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
well, sure. The old Rolls Merlin engines looked like that.
Yeah. You put them in those.
You get one of those
race boats.
Sure,
and
you
that's what
bore it out. And you get a flywheel that weighs about 3 pounds.
There you go.
And yeah, you're good to go.
Cigarette boats.
Full down wing kit.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
And then one more thing: Cadillac expects to set another global sales record in 2018, thanks to the strength of a strong sales in China, where the brand's sales have surpassed 200,000 units in just 4 years.
Nice. Wow. Is that strictly U.S. or is it? Worldwide.
Worldwide, but it China alone, 200,000 units.
China alone, okay.
In the last 4 years, which...
They like their Cadillacs over there.
Yeah,
they do. And I think that's kind of cool.
Brand identification is a big deal. You know, a few years ago, the first Harley-Davidson dealership opened up in China, and they sold big numbers over there, too. Hey, glad to have you with us. More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is coming up.
Hey everyone, Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on!
This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting. You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't. It's too heavy.
Oh, my God.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us! We're over here!
Justin! OMG! He just looked... I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact YouGottaBelieve at YouGottaBelieve.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school. Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade 24-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces of 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Well, welcome back to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust
with Brady, Steve, and I am Shane. This is the second segment of the show called The Windshield View. And I forgot about the rest of it.
So, that's because we're going to talk about... Usually we talk about project vehicles and cruises and stuff. But I kind of wanted to do a quick book report. Not really a book report. An institutional report on the Show and Shine that I went to over the weekend.
Yeah, oh, a Show and Shine?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a...
In my neck of the woods.
There is a Facebook page that is dedicated to what they call instant car shows. And so basically it's a place where somebody can say, hey, I want to go down to the Dairy Queen at so-and-so, and we're going to all get down there, and we'll be there in 3 hours, and bring your ride. And so people just kind of show up.
And Saturday was a beautiful day.
It was a gorgeous day.
So was Sunday, for that matter.
Sunday was the day, and everybody got called out to go to a Dairy Queen restaurant. This plug for Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Thrasher's Corner, I believe.
Yeah, but Thrasher's Corner. And there was, I think there was probably 40 or 45 cars up there. Some really, really nice
cool
stuff. Ran into, as some of you know, I'm a member of the Steeds Car Club.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several of us up there. Not all of us had on Steeds gear, but we were there nevertheless. there were a couple of things that I haven't seen before. There was a really, really nice Diamond T. It probably started out as a wrecker, but they'd kind of pickup truck guised it, you know, because the back was just a bed. Actually, it was a flatbed. Really, really nicely done, though. Nice patina on there, decent motor. And then there was a guy that had about a 54, 55, 56, probably Ford cab over, okay, with a really, really, I mean, it was a gorgeous metallic green, two-tone metallic green paint job. And the guy had whatever chassis was under it. I never got a chance to talk to the owner because he wasn't around. But it was like a motorhome chassis, but it had been narrowed and shortened, and they had a mid-engine big block in it.
Oh, right on.
And it was really a clean job. You'd have appreciated it, Shane, because it was as clean of an installation as I've ever seen. Everything shined. You could eat off any surface. And he had the little the door kind of holders where you got the door blocked about two-thirds of the way open. You can see it, but you can't, you know, open it any farther than that. Yeah. And the interior was straight and absolutely gorgeous. And there was also a 1963. Yes.
What did he have in the back end? So you say it's a cab over. What did you do for the back end?
There was nothing back there. It was mid-engined motor, and then there was nothing else back there. It was just the chassis, fenders,
Okay, so was it a pickup or?
No, it was essentially a cab over. It wasn't a flatbed. There was no bed. There was no nothing. It was just the back of the chassis.
Yeah.
And they didn't even have like a
tongue. Unfinished.
Oh, it's still in process.
No. It was completely finished. There is just no bed, no tongue, no.
Kind of like the back of a diesel would be.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of an open.
It was a tractor.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was a tractor. Yeah.
Did it look like they were going to haul something with it, like attach something to it, like
it
a diesel
like
hauler?
It could have. Okay. I have a picture of it. Let me open it up on my phone and you can see it.
I've seen the toy haulers where it's yeah. like that, and then they got it and you can drop your fifth wheel in there.
No, it's more or less just a bare cab. You can't see it very well in this. Those of you listening, I'm holding the phone up close to the
microphone. He'll throw it on the Facebook page.
See the green one there?
Yeah.
Okay, that looks really nice.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous.
I love that color.
Yeah,
I
it's
do
beautiful.
Too. I do too.
49?
Maybe a 50-51, yeah.
Let me see it again.
Oops, just lost it.
Yeah, so I love the green. It's similar to the Kawasaki green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very similar. And I really like that. And I like bright green things. I've often thought it would be cool to put bright
Lance's?
Green with... Is that Lance's car?
Yeah. Lance brought his 63 Avanti, the supercharged one, down there. What a gorgeous car that one is. And
you
that's...
Know,
he's got that thing so nicely
done. This makes for really
done.
Good radio why we're yeah. talking here, and they can't see a thing that we're looking at.
We're going to put it up on the Facebook page, yes. And we're also going to put it up on the... we'll publish it along with the rest of the information
well,
for the show.
Well, speaking of something that's really cool, you guys might like this, that goes right in line with what we were talking about. A lot of these cars are found in barns, are they not? These old trucks and stuff around here and
yeah,
the farm.
Yeah, quite a number of them, yeah.
Barns, fields,
barns,
sure.
Yeah. Well, the biggest barn find of the decade is, it's true, they discovered the original Bullet Mustang.
Oh, really?
Really.
Yes. As we talked about in our earlier related role, anyway, it has been certified to the original 1968 fastback used in the movie Bullet. Today, the Historic Vehicle Association, HVA, announced that the 1968 Mustang fastback serial number, blah, 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 from the movie Bullet, 1968 was recorded as the 21st automobile on the National Historic Vehicle Register.
Very cool.
This program is in a partnership with the HVA and U.S. Department of Interior, Historic American Engineering Record, and Archives of the Library of Congress. Sean Kernman of Nashville, Tennessee, is the owner of the Bullet car. It was revealed to the public along with the new Ford Mustang Bullet at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit in celebration of the 50th anniversary of the iconic movie. Talk about the
years?
Coolest. They've
wow.
been driving this thing. It was actually parked, but they have all the pictures of them driving it. The,
wow.
the owner has been driving it. It's been passed
yeah.
through the
is
family.
Is it still
green? It's green, rust parts on it, wear and everything. I mean.
Oh, you mean they haven't kept it up? Or just let it age
they
naturally?
They left it just age naturally.
Isn't that something?
Which means that thing's got to be worth. Oh, I'd say they'd get probably $2, $3, $4 million for
oh,
that.
Oh, you'd think so.
Easy.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to remember, during the making of that movie, did they not have more than one car?
You
I
think
am
they had to. Have,
the
I'm
only reason
sure,
I say that is there's one scene where he drives off the road during the big chase.
Right.
He sort of slides off onto a dirt apron on the side of the road.
Yep.
And he'd been kind of playing bumper cars with the Dodge on the way there. And one side of his car was kind of beat up.
Actually, if
and
you look
next,
at this...
the next scene, he's driving and the car is not beat up.
Okay.
So I think they had to have at least two cars.
Well, this yeah. is one of them, and it is got beat ups. It's got little dents and little dings and little...
Isn't that fascinating?
A little rust. I mean, it's like it looks like it's just been driven and left, and that's what it is. It's got the original green paint. The inside's got rust in it.
He's got the certification and everything.
Oh, yeah.
How cool is
and
that?
And they've had like 16 different people out there over a period of time just... going through it again and again and again and tracking it all down, and sure
yeah.
enough, and they've been driving this thing the whole time.
Is he going to sell it, or is that is he just
you know
he's keeping it? Please tell me he's keeping it.
I think the guy's going to try to. Everything I look at is he's going to keep it. But can you imagine somebody who is?
I'd be selling it right now.
So would I.
There's so many other cars I would buy instead.
Yeah, well, unless you could figure a way to charge money and make something out of it, you know.
I would say he will start at a million and move on up from there.
It deserves to be in some sort of a museum,
that movie,
like the LeMay or someplace.
That movie
like that.
Is one of the most iconic.
Oh yeah,
car movies, and there are collectors all over the world that would go. That's it. That's the one. I want it.
It'll end up on the 92nd floor of some building in Dubai.
Yeah.
or something in one of the Vegas Barons will have.
Well, they could do that,
Barons
too.
Would
sure.
Probably do it. And then
where's Bill Hara when you really need him?
They could put it in their showroom when you're doing casino, and there's the – that would – you know how many guys would come to your hotel if you had
just
that?
Just see
people
the
would.
Sure.
Millions every year.
Sure.
Would make
absolutely
a migration to whatever, Harris or whatever. So – anyway,
well, that's very cool.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
And wouldn't that be fun to take to the next cruise in?
Yeah, no doubt.
I just showed up in my old beater 68 Mustang, you know, no big deal. Wait a minute. Let me look at the numbers.
Interestingly enough, there was somebody who had faked one, and it turned out it wasn't the real one.
Yeah.
And so this is the real one.
Well, it's just like the Peter Fonda bike, you know, from Easy Rider.
There isn't even really original around and
93 of it. Well, the original one... For years, it was rumored that Peter Fonda had it, but it didn't.
It got destroyed in the movie.
Yeah.
Remember the explosion?
Well, they didn't. The bike that blew up was not the one he was riding.
No.
Oh, that was ridden by, not Dustin Hopper.
You're talking about Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper.
No.
That's right.
The one that went off the road, well, they both went off the road, but the one that, the Captain America bike that went off the road
right.
was not the one he had been riding. It was another one that they knew
they
were going to beat him.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there have been 10 or 12 of those things, you know, made over the years.
All right. Well, that's our music. We'll be back after these messages.
Hey everyone, Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Attention men, under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz drag...
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punkle Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau d'Ismel, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau d'Ismel. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau d'Ismel, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Welcome back to the third segment where we interview the movers, the shakers, the cool people within the world of automobile. And tonight we've got a great guest. And let me grab my notes here just so I make sure I get it right. His name is Doug LaRue. He is the founder of the Hot Rod Institute, where he trains his students in the art of basic and advanced fabrication, which will be used in the world of custom cars and custom motorcycle fabrication. For more information, Doug, what is your website, by the way?
It's pretty simple. It's hotrod.edu.
There we go. I've got it. Thank you very much. Hotrod.edu. So, Doug, let's begin with what made you fall in love with customizing cars?
Well, it goes clear back. I mean, at 16 years old, I was drag racing, and I don't think I've ever not liked custom car or muscle cars and stuff like that.
Well, when you were 16, maybe to date you, but when was that? We talking 60s, 70s, 80s?
It was in the 70s, yeah.
Oh, okay, very good.
So cars were still cool in the 70s.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I had a 66 Chevelle.
Nice.
I knew a couple guys in high school that had 66s, 65s. My best friend had a 69, and we did lots of racing in our little town, and I was a 70s guy too. So, well, let's... When did you start customizing your first vehicle, and what was it?
Well, it was probably that Chevelle. It was a Malibu 327 Power Glide. Wouldn't spin a tire if it wanted to. If I wanted it to. So. we put a bigger cam in high school with my father, and changed it over to a 4-speed. Ended up with 411 gears because the speed limit went way back or dropped way down to 55.
So. That's right. Mm-hmm. So you spent some time just kind of doing, I guess, what I would call the basics of, you know, hotting up your car and everything. At what point did you decide that you needed to go a little farther than that? I mean, did you have a mentor, or did you kind of generate your own knowledge just by trial and error, like so many of us?
Yes.
No, I kind of had a little head start in a couple ways because my dad taught high school auto mechanics, but I didn't go that way. But right out of high school, I went to a junior college, and I was going to do carpentry, but luckily I visited during the wintertime, and I said, there's got to be something a little warmer inside to do. So
oh, yeah.
I did the auto body stuff, and I was in the collision industry at the beginning, and then now, and the restoring cars and hot rods and muscle cars, that was always in my blood. So I did that all the time, but collision paid the bills. And
sure.
And I was really happy to step away from that industry, and now I just have fun all the time.
I'm assuming that while you were doing the rebuilding and the upgrading and stuff like that, you also did some racing, yeah?
I raced for quite a while. It's kind of like an addiction. You had to get away from it.
Oh, yeah. So what year did you open your school in?
Well, I've been actually started teaching in 1988 for school in Wyoming.
Yeah, I was still in high school at that time.
And I was there for 15 years, and I was in Alabama for 5 years with another school. And then we opened our school 10 years ago.
Now, what led to you opening a school of your own? Because that's a big step.
Me and another guy kind of started the deal at Wyoming about automotive restorations, hot rod type stuff. And it was really, really, really popular. And it's just that there's certain things that we couldn't do because of time. And now we have the time to take people. We don't have to mess around with anything in the repair industry. It's just all about the specialty car industry. And we take them basically from bumper to bumper. So,
so give me an idea, if you can, briefly, of what kind of curriculum do you have? I mean, what does that look like? How long is the course?
Well, we have six different classes, and it's like a full-time job. They go from 8 to 4:30, 5 days a week.
Right.
We cover, usually a good place to start would be the chassis fabrication. They learn welding, MIG welding, TIG welding. Then we go through all frames and different types of suspensions.
Now, do they get a basic certification in those things as they're going through?
There's really not a certification for those welding. We did have it. It's just that we're so picky that we're probably a little more than most certifications would be for that.
Yeah, okay. So what else?
They come out there really. And then body fabrication, which is two levels of that. So it's 3 months of, I can't call it basic, because we get into really deep stuff. They do a little bit of mail shaping. Like right now, a new class, we're doing competencies to get them up and ready to work on their cars. And like they're building a little motorcycle gas tank, using sandbag and mallet and English wheel and planish and hammers and things like that.
It's all that's fun.
Together. And then they'll go right into working on their projects. Students can bring their own, as long as it's, we always encourage challenging and nothing real boring. So we get into deep things like replacing body panels, complete quarter panels, floors, anything to do with the structural portion of the body, a little bit of modifications. But then on our second portion of that, we call it hot rodded body advanced. Then we get into serious compound shapes where they have to use power tools like the Pomax, power hammers. We still use the English wheel, the bead rollers, all that kind of stuff.
That's how they build it
really.
That's pretty involved.
Way more difficult. Oh, yeah. We're probably about like any old hot rod shop that gets into building cars from scratch.
Yeah. So now.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you how long the entire course is front to back.
If they took all six, it'd be a year and a half.
Nice.
Wow.
That's a pretty complete education. And you guys, I'm assuming you guys are grant available and funded and stuff like that.
Not yet. That's what's keeping us small. But
okay.
We were accredited, but unfortunately the accrediting body split away from the Department of Education about the same time we got accredited.
Oh, no.
I have some small background in the Voc-Tech business. I understand exactly your pain. It gets better.
So I kind of stepped away from that for a while because I decided I just want to keep small. But now we're going to go for it this year. I got a really good guy working for me that wants to take it on. And then we'll, by a year and a half, we should be able to offer Title IV funding and stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah, that is great.
That'd be great.
Now, how many students run through your program, and do they come in at you have your year and a half program, but is it like a traditional quarterly type basis where new students can come in and sign up and start from the very beginning, and so you just all the way, like four quarters a year? How does that work?
Yeah, we go four quarters a year. And they really can't step into the middle of anything because each class has its designated. We got basically every quarter's 400 hours of training.
Wow.
And it's pretty intense stuff, so they can't really miss anything.
No.
Or they miss out on a lot. And we try to give them as much what we call live work as possible too. We go through the training in the classroom. We do the testing and all that. But most of the classes are about 75%. Hands-on, and that's probably the best feature of all. So
yeah, that's the best way to do it. Now, how many classes do you run consecutively? I mean, do you have one class and you start another one in 6 months, or do you just run guys straight through and then start a new one?
We run all six classes at the same time.
Okay.
So there's an instructor for every class.
Right.
So how many students do you on average get per quarter? And it's to depend on the time when people, like you get out of high school, young guy wants to come in or gal wants to come in, they're going to start in the summer or fall. So what's your enrollment right now?
well, we're really pretty low, which is a great opportunity for the students because they get a lot of one-on-one and
bet,
not
yeah.
a lot of crowding.
Yeah.
This fall is always our biggest start, and this fall is already looking pretty busy. We'd like to see some people come in before that so they get more one-on-one. But we'll never overload a class. We don't want to ever have more than 15 in a class.
Yeah, that's a good number.
We'll spread them out.
Especially if you're doing hands-on, it's good not to have too many.
Yeah. Yes, they can't. Some classes can't even take the 15.
Right.
If we have an upholstery class, they can only take 6 or 8, something like that.
Yeah. So I know that the industry is crazy. I mean, everybody's got some sort of piece of it, and there's an awful lot of TV shows that talk about car customizing and, you know, the Chip Foose and Jesse James of the industries and stuff. Do you get people, you know, coming in with ideas about stuff that they want to do based on TV, or do you think that's changed the world of customizing at all, just the access to all that different media?
You know, it's funny. The TV thing really does get people fired up over it. It's not really realistic times.
Right.
So yeah. You mean you can't build a car in a week? Come on.
Yeah. It takes the industry guys to get all angry about it because it's not reality.
Sure.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it is firing people up to get into the industry. And as far as I know, the calls I've been getting from people in the industry, they're really looking for people, experienced people that have a lot of talent. And there's a lot of jobs out there. And we can't afford, supply the people, enough people to fill those jobs. So. Oh,
yeah. Well, and one of the things that we've discussed, I have another show, and I did for years, and one of the things we discussed on that show was the high schools have just, with few exceptions, the high schools dropped all the shop classes, wood shop, metal shop, small engine repair shop, the stuff that was just common ground for decades and decades and decades have all been removed from. And now the focus is on college, 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 college. And I'm like, you know, a lot of kids don't want to go to college. They want to go to vo-tech school. They want to get their hands. They want to go into a trade. And so you're filling a niche that needs to be done. And not only can you do fabrication, when you're dealing with older cars, and there's still a lot of them out there, unlike the regular body shops that you just do a panel and you're done or you discontinue it. So do you see the rise of just a continuation of more kids and more young adults or older adults coming into your school and in a need for expansion?
Right now, we do have a fairly good group of young students, and that's not typical for us. Typically, we get a little bit older in their mid to upper 20s to low 40s. We've had 65-year-old guys in there. We're getting a really influx of
not that old.
Oh yeah, we have a post office worker one time, but we're going to really see a lot of veterans coming in because we are VA approved. And,
nice.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
And those guys, and that's how hot rodding started, way back. The guys went to the military. They learned all kinds of new skills, mechanical skills, and they come back and they wanted to use them. And that's kind of how hot rodding started. So. It's still going on.
Let me ask you one final question, if I can. I know that you're in Rapid City, South Dakota. You obviously have to attract people from different parts of the country. Do you get guys from all around that come in for the duration of the course?
Oh, yeah. We got them from coast to coast, border to border. We get a lot of replies from out of the country, just that we can't take them unless they got some kind of connection to get in. We had a really good student from Australia, and his mother was American, so he had dual citizenship.
Nice.
He did awesome. He's actually working for Kindega Design right now and doing really good.
Awesome. Hey, Doug, it's been great talking with you. We appreciate it. Your website is hotrod.edu, and it is, in fact, the Hot Rod Institute. We're going to put all the information for your school up on our website and on our Facebook page. And we really appreciate you coming by and having a conversation with us tonight.
Yes, thanks, Doug.
Well, thank you.
Well, we'll be in touch with you and send you over some great stuff. And let's stay in touch. We want to hear more about what you're doing.
Sure, sounds good.
Excellent. Well, have a great night, and we will be talking to you soon.
Yep, you too. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
You are listening to the best automotive info show in the known world, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And a great racing story you can share with your friends is coming up next.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday fun days left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test because prediabetes can be reversed.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad.
Oh, come on. This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade trotting 4-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces, 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy!
Oh my God! Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us, we're over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact You Gotta Believe at YouGottaBelieve.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Got a new machine, gonna blow the scene. Cause trouble makes rubble like you never seen. My motor's clean, spits gasoline. Burning rubber.
Welcome to the fourth segment of the show. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. This is Cars Confidential, where we tell stories about races won and lost. Brady, what do you have for us today?
Today. Thank you for asking. Since you asked, as everybody knows, very often we read a story from the old car nut books that David Dickinson writes.
Because we're car nuts.
Well, and because we're old.
And we're nuts.
and we're nuts. Yeah, it all fits, friends. Anyway, this one particular story that I have is from the second. It's from the second book, and it's called "The Asphalt Eating Olds," and it's actually one of David's stories. So I'm sure there's quite a bit of embroidery in it.
That's what we're calling these days. Huh?
I love you, David. I love you. You're my buddy. In 1968, I bought my second car. It was a 1954 Oldsmobile 88 two-door sedan with a big, powerful V8 and a smooth-as-pudding automatic transmission. I bought that car for $85. It had a beautiful interior and a faded yellow paint job, and the seats were all intact and clean, and the dash shined like new. Knowing what I know now, and having much more patience and appreciation for all things old and in need of just a little TLC, I probably could have gotten the paint to look fairly nice, too. The body was straight as an arrow, no rusts, no dents, the metal was as thick as a nickel, even the chrome was nice and shiny. Now, I have no idea how many miles it had on it, but I would go to the gas station, fill the oil, check the gas. I'm pretty sure it had a bad main seal. Now, at the time, gas was about 29 cents a gallon, and oil was a quarter. I thought the exhaust sounded pretty cool, but in reality, it was quite simply worn out and louder than it had been when it was younger. The muffler was basically a Swiss cheese. The original knee-action shocks were pretty bad. 54 was the last year for the knuckle shocks. They were expensive to replace even then, and the car literally rode like a boat on the open ocean. A couple of my friends swore they got seasick in it. I think I might have had something to do with the fact that the barley pop that they had been drinking had taken hold, but we will leave that for another time. When I laid down my money, the Olds was only 14 years old, and it only had had one owner, the proverbial little old lady, a friend of my grandmother. It was far from being the classic that it is today, just a cheap car that I could drive and not worry about too much. In today's world, it had what's considered a nice patina, and it would have been a great candidate for an easy restoration. In 1968, however, it was just a beater. When I first got the behemoth of a sled, unbeknownst to me, it had a broken motor mount. Being just a young punk with little real car experience, I thought it might be cool to see how much rubber I could burn by running it in reverse and then slamming it into drive.
Oh, no.
Well, the long and the short of it was that the sudden change of direction and torque caused the motor to jump violently around in the engine compartment. Amazingly, it caused no serious damage. Well, it was an Oldsmobile, after all. Other than shattering the shift linkage that ran through the steering column, the tranny was fine, but I suddenly had a free-floating gear shift handle. Oh, my. So I went down to the local parts store to get a floor shifter for it. They didn't have one for a 54, so I got one for a 55. Hey, the cars look pretty similar on the outside. It ought to fit, right? Working full-time, in addition to going to high school, I didn't have time to work on it. I wasn't in auto shop at the time, so I took it to the local mechanic up the street from the high school, and he said, "No problem. I can install it. I'll do it all for $35. He agreed that there shouldn't be much difference in the shift linkage from one car to the next. After all, the cars did look pretty similar, for the most part. Shane is over here chortling into his beard because he knows what's coming. After a couple of days of being put off, I was kind of upset that he hadn't finished it, and I went to give him an earful. The long and the short of it was that he had to beat each linkage bar and reshape them. It turns out that the 55 linkage wasn't anything at all like the 54,
wow.
Despite how similar the cars looked on the outside. Not only that, but being the conscientious mechanic that he was, he felt it only right that he should give me back the car with the shift indicator on the dash working properly. When all was said and done, I got my car back, and it had a floor shifter that worked really smoothly with an operable shift indicator, a very cool unit. He spent a bunch of hours on it, and he still only charged me the original $35.
Wow.
That's a deal.
From that day on, the old boy was my mechanic right up until he went out of business. I was the envy of everyone for having scored on my install. The linkage never failed to operate smoothly, and it was the best transaction I ever had with a mechanic repair business. One day I was planning on getting four new tires for the Olds after school, and I mentioned that to a couple of friends. They both expressed some disappointment that I hadn't quite burned off all the rubber on the tires it had. It was decided that I should remedy that situation prior to leaving school, so with less common sense than a teenager usually displays, and once again, proving what my dad used to say, you don't have the sense to...
Yes.
I pulled into the senior parking lot. Now, the senior parking lot was brand new. It was not the least conspicuous place to do a burnout, but it did have speed bumps. And I pulled up to one of those pristine motion inhibitors in the newly asphalted parking lot and placed my back tires on the leading edge. Ah. The goal was to burn off as much rubber as I could before heading to the tire store, so I placed one foot on the brake and one on the gas. I ground down on the gas just enough to get the tires turning and kept the brake pressed just long enough to keep the car from moving. Once started, I gave it more gas, and I watched the smoke start to fill the area around my beater holes. It seemed like I was doing the longest burnout in motoring history. In reality, it was a pretty short time, but I generated a lot of smoke. In fact, there was so much smoke and enough wind that before too long, the administration building was engulfed in tire smoke. Not oblivious to the fact that what I was doing was against school policy, the law, and the most basic of common sense, I let off the gas and let the car roll to a parking space where I left it to smolder, so to speak. The smoke from the burnout lingered, wafting out the wheel wells, incriminating the car in the nefarious event. I'd gotten out and walked away, watching from a distance until the police arrived. They inspected it, made some notes, looked around, and left. I guess they had bigger fish to fry than investigating a burnout where they couldn't prove who did it. To this day, I can't tell you why nothing came of it, but I was never called in, never held accountable, never contacted at any time. There could have been serious repercussions, but the only long-term result was the one-inch divot in the speed bump where I'd chewed away the asphalt. I left a short while later to go get tires before heading to work. The speed bump remained permanently scarred. I know because I went back and looked many years later, surprised at how deep the mark still was. I drove that car for what seemed like a long time, and as I recall now, however, it was only for a few months before I sold it for a cooler car that I just had to have, and so I sold the olds for $75. I guess I'd have to say it's probably worth more than 100 times that now, and yes, I wish I still had it. Maybe that 54 olds is floating around still, granting a new life by someone older and wiser than I was then, and maybe with more money and appreciation for the fine old lady that she was. I often look for her at the local car shows, checking for telltale signs that I may have left behind, like the 8-ball on the tall end of the floor-mounted shifter.
Stay tuned for this week's trivia question.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of Sea.
Hang on till right after these messages.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance & Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Back road, and I'll back road. Take me anywhere you want to go, back road. With my windows down, no radio.
Hey, welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel, sponsored by somebody. We're going to talk about some events and rallies and stuff coming up. There's a couple of really interesting events happening. This at the end of this month, this being January, the NWDRA swap meet at Clark County Fairgrounds in western central Washington is coming up on the 27th, and it's a really cool one. If you have the opportunity to go there, it's a great event. There's always lots of things to do. And then coming up in February on the 3rd, in Salem, Oregon, there's a collector car auction. So if you're looking for new wheels, that might be a winner. And also on the 3rd, there's a caffeine and gasoline at Griot's in Tacoma, and that's going to be all day at the 3rd. So if you've got rides that you want to share or stuff you want to brag about, that's a good place to go. So last week, we talked about our usual trivia question, and the Facebook page was literally blown up with potential answers for our question, which was, in one particular year, turn signals became a standard equipment on American cars. And the question was, what year was it, and what maker was responsible for making those things standard? And had several answers, none of which were correct. Does anybody want to take a guess?
1915 by Buick?
Well, you're right, it was Buick. But it was a little later than 1915.
1923?
Standard equipment, even later than that. Standard equipment, 1939.
Oh. Okay, that would
now
make, yes.
They invented them before that, but they weren't standard, until 39. Not a bad one. I got a great one for next week, though. Get this. A while back, we did Who Did the First Spark Plug? And we learned that the spark plug was invented in 1860. But you wouldn't have a need for a spark plug if you didn't have some way to make the engine turn. So, the first engine crank, the crankshaft, was invented. It had to be invented at some point or another.
Oh, yeah.
So somebody did that, and it's a lot older than you think. So if you know who, and by the way, the person who invented this thing was a very famous inventor of a bunch of other stuff, but he happened to come up with this particular thing, the engine crank, and the year would be really great. Our Facebook page is Horsepower Chrome and Rust. On Facebook, you can also email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. And if you know the answer, you will win a prize beyond price, simply because we have no budget and there's no prize for any prizes.
Well, and you'll get your name mentioned on the show.
You will get your name mentioned on the radio. And fame and
money.
Fortune will be yours. Well, no fortune, but fame anyway.
Well, and if you've got an event in your neck of the woods, if you're in Florida or Chicago or something, email us, please. Let us know what it is, and we'll get it on here.
Yeah, we'd love to promote your events.
Hey, speaking of really cool things, I think is you guys will enjoy this. Legislation aiming to declare Route 66 a National Historic Trail cleared its first hurdle this month with a unanimous congressional committee vote.
Nice.
H.R. 801, which Illinois' Representative Darren LaHood introduced last year and which was subject of a House Natural Resources Subcommittee on Federal Lands hearing last November, passed the House Natural Resources Committee earlier this week and was reported to the House full House of Representatives. The bill, which would effectively replace Route 66 Corridor Preservation Program, which was put into place in 2009, is set to expire in 2019. This would ensure that the preservation efforts for Route 66 would continue indefitely into the future. So
they make it a national treasure.
Exactly.
As it should be.
And it should be. What other highway has songs? And when people come here from all over the world, they want to travel on Route 66.
Well, it was the site of a television show, let's face it.
That's right.
Buzz and Todd Route driving that Corvette up and down the road.
Get your kicks on Route 66. Nat King Cole.
Well, that's our hit. Our cue to hit the gas until next week. Thanks to David Dickinson and the Old Car Nut Books. Be sure to like our webpage and our Facebook page and check out the archives for all our shows at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot right to the floor. You cruise on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.